I'm Will Harris, and today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
It's Monday afternoon, and you want to know what that means.
Time for Cutting the Curd.
Another episode of Cutting the Curd. We are Cutting the Curd. My name is Ann Saxelby.
And my name is Sophie Schlesinger.
And we are broadcasting live from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn on the Heritage Radio Network. So today's show, we are traveling to the West Coast.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking with Chris Vamos, who is the president of Milkman Cheese Services, to talk about cheese in Southern California and what his business does. Chris, are you on the line with us?
I am. I was wondering when to explode with enthusiasm. I guess now is the time.
Yes. Yes. Please do. Whoop, holler.
There I go.
Yeah. So, well, it's good to talk to you. I feel it's been a while since I've seen you.
Yeah, I think the last time was at the in Montreal, was it not? I think I may have been. I was stalking a lot of people at the time, and it's hard for me to remember. But I think that you were definitely high up on the list.
Oh man, I love it, Montreal. That was a fun time. American Cheese Society. Yeah, this year, if anyone's listening in, you should register now. Our registration's open for Raleigh in 2012. It's going to be a good time. But so, Chris, tell us, what does Milkman Cheese Services do?
a myriad of things. It just sort of, really, my business is a vehicle for thinking up cheese puns. That's really part and parcel.
That's really important.
Why I'm in the cheese business, just because I'm a fan.
There are so many.
Really, it's endless.
You could get carried away.
I'm writing that down on my notepad and consider it stolen. Anyway, so it started off. The project started off because I was making cheese in Vermont, and unfortunately the place that I was working for went out of business, kind of tragically. Aww. And I took it as a sign that it was time to move back to the ancestral homeland and take the helm of the family, as it were. So on the way across the country, I was calling cheesemakers and seeing who needed help where. Ultimately, I was thinking it would be great to have a farming job, but it was pretty late in the season at that point. And people were like, you know, we know you and love you. That's paraphrasing right there. but you know, it's just like there's nothing going on right now. What else you got for us? So I was thinking, because I already knew the Southern California market, maybe I would try my hand at doing some selling. One of my favorite things about working for cheesemakers in Vermont was doing farmers markets. Because essentially a farmer's market is you standing there all day with cheese, and people will pass you. And I wish this was a radio so I could show you the face that people make. But there's this great moment where people realize what it is that you're doing. It's just like this like euphoria / Scooby-Doo kind of thing with, you know, going on. And then they rush on over, and they look at the cheese, and they look at you, and they form this association between you and the cheese, so they begin to love you by association.
It's the most
feel-good job that there is, by far.
Totally.
So I thought I'd try my hand at that here in the Southland, see if anybody was doing that sort of thing. The people were doing fresh cheeses at farmers markets here in Southern California, but nobody was really repping local hard-aged cheeses, which is sort of what I'm more into. And I started at one in Del Mar Vista, where I grew up, actually, just down the street. And it's blossomed into a couple of different farmers markets. And I wasn't completely sure what to expect from the clientele who are shopping at these things. But actually, the response has been huge. People have been really interested in actually going and visiting local farms and getting to know their cheesemakers. I just think that there was this need, this kind of like latent need in the area to get reconnected to their foodways. Los Angeles is sort of like, to people, you know, all over the world kind of think that Los Angeles is this floating bubble. out in the middle of nowhere, and we're not connected to the greater society at large. But I found that to be completely the opposite of true, and it's been really, really heartening. So, what were we talking about?
No. That's really good because I was really interested in the fact that so here you are, you're a young guy. You know, you start a business, and it's a very smart way to start a business, actually, yeah. because you're really being able to test drive your idea out in the marketplace and really interface with people every day in a way that's not going to cost, you know, a bazillion dollars to get started.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I should definitely make a point that I'm a very proud member of the unemployed generation, and I just did what a lot of people my age have done and just make myself a lot less unemployed, no less poor, but much less unemployed. It was just sort of like, ultimately, it's just sort of an ego thing. So far, it's been working great. So
that's really fantastic. Yeah. Well, and it's really heartening because I feel like a lot of people want to get into cheese, and it's they know about cheese and they're looking to make a career of it. And so, sometimes the best way to do it is just by, like you said, getting some experience with a farm or with another cheese shop, and then just jumping in. But can you tell us a little bit about the logistics of your business? Where do you store your cheeses? How do you get your cheeses from farmers?
So unfortunately, some of the cheesemakers who I work with, not all, are a little bit too far away from me to be able to do any kind of mass deliveries. And already, a lot of the cheesemakers that I work with are working on such a scale where they can't really integrate themselves with distributors too well because they just don't have the right volume.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been having them variously ship me, boxes of cheese, just a couple of pieces at a time, just kind of. And I try to group people together as best I can, but usually it's just solo. I do have one cheesemaker who I'm working with out in Ontario, which is maybe about 45 minutes away from Los Angeles by car, and he actually comes to farmers markets and delivers cheese for me there, and that's always a fun moment introducing the cheesemaker to my people just kind of walking by. Otherwise, logistically, I have kind of a walk-in cooler in a place called Culver City here in Los Angeles, and you're not allowed to do cutting and wrapping here in Los Angeles at farmers markets. Mm-hmm. I think that it's the same way in New York City. Am I right?
No, they revoked it. Yeah. They made it that way for a little while, and people were so mad.
I was living there for a little while. And I knew that I think who was having problems with that? It was considered Bardwell. Cato Corner, yeah, right. Yeah.
I think everybody at the New York City Green Markets who sold cheese, they were kind of thrown into a tumult because all of a sudden their way of business, just really changed.
Yeah.
Good. Well, it's good to hear that there's been some positive movement. So what I do is I'll cut my cheese at, 3-4 o'clock in the morning or something like this, and have pieces ready to go, so when I hit the market, the pieces are still in really good condition. But it's not an absolutely ideal situation. So hopefully, once I hit my stride a little bit, maybe I'll be able to find some time to massage whoever needs to be massaged to make that happen. Who knows?
I love it. Anyway. I love it. Yeah. Cheese activism added to part of the resume.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how many farms do you work with, and who, if you don't mind naming, who are some of the farms? Just because I feel like Northern California oftentimes gets the reputation for being a cheese mecca,
right?
And you don't hear quite as much about cheesemakers in Southern California.
Absolutely. Actually, I want to make sure to pimp my friends Drake. They're out in Ontario. They were mostly in the fresh cheese game for quite some time, but I think that there was somebody was making some noise recently about how they should start making an artisan cheese, and they found a chef who wanted to turn coats, and become a cheesemaker for them. So he's making a really nice, fairly standard but very, very clean and wonderful fresh style mold-ripened cheese, and it's doing really, really lovely right now. And then you don't get a whole lot more cheese making for a little while. There was a place called Winchester, which was out a ways from.
Oh yeah, they used to make the Gouda.
Yeah, they definitely make the Gouda, and I think that they've been, unfortunately, they've been having some. they've been having some financial problems recently, and I don't think they don't want to put they don't want to put any more skin in the game. So I don't think the Gouda is going to be a thing anymore, unfortunately.
That is not the very Gouda.
I'll be stealing that one too. Add that to the list. And then it doesn't get really interesting again until you get up the coast a little ways. Central Coast Creamery in Paso Robles is doing really nice work. Who else is doing great work? Shock Family Farm in Salinas. Shock is spelled S-C-H-O-C-H for those curious who want to look it up. They're doing really delicious raw Dutch styles. And then it doesn't get too interesting until you get up the coast. Then there's Y-Rock doing really interesting stuff. There's somebody just started a herd of water buffalo, and they're going to be making water buffalo mozzarella here in California.
Wow.
I'm going to try to have that. And he's just starting up his biz. And beyond, I think that's a good list so far.
Yeah, that's pretty, yeah. That's amazing. And so, and what about Fiscalini? Where are they situated in California?
I believe that they're in Modesto.
Yeah.
They are. But I do work with some bigger producers, but I try to keep it on the smaller side of things because I don't really feel like that's where I'm needed. You know, people who are selling at Whole Foods or Costco, I think that's great that small-scale producers are finally doing that. Like Point Reyes, like, good on them. Like, they're doing, you know, fantastic work right now. But, you know, it's like they've hit their stride, and if I can help people gain a little bit of traction, then I can also feel good about myself at the end of the day.
Yeah, and so what other, I mean, you must be providing people with a lot of feedback too, especially if these people are just getting started in cheesemaking. Can you talk a little bit about how have you helped people kind of develop their cheeses or given them advice and sort of guidance that way?
Sure. It's not as much as I would like to. I definitely like to make it more on the official tip, a la maybe Jasper Hill. They're really huge inspirations for me. Alyssa from North Bay Curds and Whey she's another brand new operation, and she shares a facility with a couple of other new and up and coming cheesemakers who are going to be really big on the scene. But she in particular has been really, really nice to talk to, very open to suggestions. And I've noticed that a lot of new cheesemakers will they kind of shotgun blasted at the beginning, making a whole bunch of different styles and you know, like, just trying to please every palate all the time. And I'm trying to encourage her and other people kind of gently to maybe focus on one thing, slow down, really look at what you're doing and perfect it, and, you know, kind of get some cachet that way, and then expand the brand from there, if that makes sense.
I think that's very smart.
Yeah.
Very smart, because each cheese can be a lifetime's worth of work. So,
well, I used to be an intern. The reason why I was in Vermont was I was working for a place called Plowgate Creamery with Marissa Morrow.
Yeah,
Marissa, if you're out there somewhere, for God's sake, give me a call. she was making a really lovely brie style, and that was really, she made a couple of different fresh styles, but that was all she did.
Yeah, the Hartwell was so good.
People like really like responded to that one thing, you know, and it was like, it made sense. You could explain it really clearly. And, you know, you would remember it.
And also people knew what they were going to get, you know.
Yeah, like that's exactly a part of it. Right, yeah. Consistency was huge, yeah. That's another thing that I really want to hammer into my cheesemaker, is that if you can make the same great product, like, week in, week out, that is enormous, you know. So you don't, you know, you want to cut out the peaks and valleys as much as you can, so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it looks like we have come to the halfway point of our show. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about selling cheese in LA and your other services that you provide. So stick with us.
In the back, you may not have a car at all, but really
brothers and sisters. You can White Oak Pastures is a 146-year-old multi-generational family farm that works in cooperation with nature to produce artisan meat that is safe, healthy, nutritious, and good to eat. Without fail, we ensure that our production practices are economically practical, ecologically sustainable, and that the animals are always humanely treated. We never falter in our determination to conduct our business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You may not have a car at all.
All right, we are back on Cutting the Curd. Thanks to our sponsors, White Oak Pastures. So I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. My co-host is Sophie Schlesinger. And our guest today is Chris Vamos, who is the president and founder of Milkman Cheese Services, based in Los Angeles, California. So before we get into the nitty-gritty, Chris, how can people find out about your business? Do you have a website? Do you have a Facebook page?
I do. It's milkmanla.com. That's MilkmanLA.com. And then, of course, whatever social network you can throw at me, I'm on there variously. Unfortunately, the name Milkman, I went online and I was like, nobody has Milkman yet, and they did, unfortunately. So I'm kind of, I'm Milkman plus whatever on, you know, whatever social network you can throw at me. And if you like, mostly, I don't have my own Twitter account or Facebook or anything like that. So I didn't think that I was going to catch the bug, but I've been using it more and more kind of like for my own personal stuff, so... It's kind of like a slippery slope, man. Menagerie of like kind of my own life. So if you want to see like the complete life of the cheesemonger, you could just go on my Twitter feed. So.
Excellent. So selling cheese in LA, it's so funny. Maybe I'm probably the most prejudiced person in the world, but I feel like when I think of LA, I think of a lot of really healthy people who are eating raw food and like, you know, really watching, you know, green tea and like the whole thing kind of preserving youth, you know, eternally. And obviously I'm wrong. So can you tell us about who your customers are in LA and what people in LA are excited about in cheese?
I would love to. I was hoping that you were going to ask about that. It's interesting because I don't have my own storefront, so I'm outside dealing with people who are at farmers markets. And that clientele, my business is fairly new, which means that I do have people who know about me, but a lot of my traffic are just kind of people who are walking by, happen to be there. And it's interesting engaging with those people because I'm sure at your store, it's mostly people who are going out to buy cheese or want to be educated about it or something, or they've heard about you kind of variously. With me, I kind of have to convince them that what they're about to engage in is like, it's not like an illegal heroin deal, like in the back alley. It's really like a joyful thing, you know, and it's also not necessarily like going to like a wine store or something where there's like that you're confronted with this kind of semi-obscure vocabulary and, you know, dealing with like a brooding clerk or something like that. I want to posit cheese as this like kind of joyful, like sexy and goofy thing that you can enjoy like on an intellectual level and like on a kind of like, you know, just like kind of more emotional level.
If that was like an actress, what actress would that be? Or an actor, I guess. I'm trying to think. I'm like, is it Cameron Diaz? Is it?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz.
Sexy, goofy. Anyway, yeah. Sorry. That was like bringing the LA thing too far. Justin Timberlake, maybe. Okay, never mind. Just kidding.
Maybe.
But no, I think that's great. I think, you know, stripping away the pretense that surrounds cheese is always the best because.
I love the trend of like kind of goofy like cheese descriptions that people put up because cheese can has the potential to exist in this kind of like. Because you know, all food is you know has a political angle to it and has this kind of like cultural angle to it too. So people bring like baggage to cheese already, So if you can kind of flip the script on them a little bit, like I don't know. I like having conversations with people about cheese and like waxing poetic about it. Yeah, I guess that's all I had to say about it. I feel like there was another part to the question.
Well, I'm curious, where are the best farmers markets in LA?
Yeah.
Hollywood is definitely great, but when you go to Hollywood, people are like, oh, Hollywood. It really is like, it's like pretty Hollywood. Like, people are, you know, like preening, and, you know, like, kind of, they're, you know, striking poses. But there's also, like, a very, very genuine vibe going through it. Mar Vista is also really nice. The farmers market scene here in Los Angeles is not as well developed as it is in some other areas, so there's room for people to play around a little bit. So people are just finding their feet. They don't really know exactly what they're doing yet, so it has the potential to be like kind of lame and then like the very heights of awesome at the same time, just because there's latitude to grow, I think. Mar Vista is really nice. Who else is doing great work? Atwater Village is doing really nice right now. Santa Monica is always a great scene. But go to my advice is to just go to your local farmer's market and just talk to the vendors, because it's likely that they live in the same neighborhood as you, and it's nice, because more and more farmer's markets are becoming a neighborhood hub, which is something that's absolutely desperately needed here in Los Angeles. There's nothing that's knit the community together, I think, as much as farmers markets have.
So what's your schedule like with the markets? You know, how many are you doing per week, and what's a typical day like for you?
This is happening like super fast, so I need to count on my fingers here. Do I have six fingers? Yes. So I'm doing six, and I have a buddy who does a couple for me a week, who's just kind of doing it out of the goodness of his heart. Lincoln, thank you if you're out there. And then a typical day for me will be, I'll wake up at maybe 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, head over to my facility, do cheese wrapping for maybe 2 to 3 hours, something like this, and inventorying and so on and so forth. And then I pack up my cooler, and I pack up my Honda with all of my farmer's market stuff, which is just down to an absolute rocket science at this point. And it's, everything is like, you know, has, it's like, it's more like Tetris. I'm afraid that my car is going to disappear at the end of it. So I drive to the market, and I have about an hour or so to set up. It's too bad because, it's not too bad, actually, because I'm trying to develop an aesthetic for what it is that I'm doing. And just so that people, it's like, oh, it's the milkman. Here's like, you could spot it from 10 miles away. But the problem is it has to be absolutely as portable as possible.
Right.
So I have to think pretty deeply about how to generate like maximum visual impact with of like an absolute minimum of stuff. My first farmer's market, I showed up with a table. I had no tablecloth. I did have a tent. Actually, I didn't even have a tent. They gave me a tent. And I was just standing there with cheeses under my arm and smiling and handing them out to people. I felt like the Oprah of cheese. But people were so into it, and then eventually it's evolved over time. So, and then at the end of it, I pack it on up, go home, and have a beer with a huge smile on my face.
Wow.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, yeah, working hard. So what, can you tell us a little bit about, so, I mean, now I'm even afraid to ask because I've heard what your days are like. But you also provide some sort of cheese education, consulting. You mentioned farm trips earlier in the show.
I've left it open-ended because, truth be told, I'm really, ultimately, I would love to make it onto the farm again. And the way that I'm doing that is by kind of keeping my toes dipped in many pools at once, if that makes sense. Like, I love educating people about cheese. I think that that's the best part about my job. And if that means I'm in a classroom or at the farmer's market or talking with chefs, so on and so forth, I just like keeping it sort of open-ended. And maybe that's the unemployed generation in me talking, where I want to give myself, you know, as many options as possible. But so far it's been working out really, really nicely. I would love to be sort of like the Vermont cheesemaker who's developing recipes for everybody. Peter
Dixon.
Peter Dixon. I would love to be that man someday. I would love to have that man's facial hair someday. if just that, I will die a happy man.
Peter Dixon is an awesome guy. I always say he's like the Johnny Appleseed of cheese.
Yeah. Has he been on the show? Have you even seen him in person before?
Yes, he's been on the show. He's
unbelievable.
I know. So he's like a rock star.
He does exist.
I can confirm it. Well, that's great. That's totally great. So do you have plans then? I mean, if you want to do that kind of consulting, do you have plans? Are there places in California like VIAC where you could go and learn more about the science of cheesemaking?
Absolutely. So College of Marin has a great new certificate program that's just kind of getting started. I think actually they just graduated, if not mistaken, just graduated their first real class of students. And that is very, very legitimate right now. UC Davis has a great cheesemaking program.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Cool.
And who else is doing really nice work? And there are kind of like artisanal schools popping up here, there, and everywhere. But just, I would recommend to anybody who's even semi-interested in the cheesemaking world, just call up your closest cheesemaker, because they're all, like, the ones that I've talked to are, like, shocked to hear that other people are, like, into what they're doing, you know. And just, like, just explain that you're into it. Maybe you want to come up and visit them for a day, or you want to, you know, intern or something. Because if it's not for them, it'll be for somebody else, guaranteed.
Yeah. That's good advice.
Totally. Well, we just have a couple minutes left, but I'm curious, what are your favorite places to eat cheese in L.A.?
Favorite places to eat cheese in L.A.? Oh, goodness. Can we go out to the O.C.?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. That's a good start. The Cheese Cave out in Claremont is fantastic. The two owners are just these totally bubbly young ladies. I go there, I open up the door, the what I call the angel's kiss hits you right in the face. That's the stinky zephyr that cheese shops have. And they're just a total fount of knowledge. They're both involved with Altadena, which was a major milk producer here in Southern California for a long time, and they have many, many amazing stories. They're definitely a milk family, which is rare when you talk to cheese professionals, because a lot of them, it seems to me, come from outside of the dairy industry.
Right.
So they definitely have an insider's perspective. Who else is doing great stuff? Oh, for Pete's sake. Favorite places to eat? So I just cut myself a piece of cheese and go up to the Griffith Observatory and look out over all of Los Angeles. That's my favorite place to eat cheese.
What is it, the La Brea Bakery? Doesn't somebody have a grilled cheese night?
Yeah, definitely. So Campanile, which is associated with, they're right, I mean, they're adjoining. They have a great grilled cheese night. We just had the grilled cheese invitational here.
Ooh, cool.
Nice.
In Los Angeles, and somebody came up with this, like, ridiculous combination. It's just sort of like, it just feels like somebody fed, like a bunch of, like, random ingredients through a computer and just, like, tried every possible combination. There really was every possible combination this year. It was just like, oh.
Who was the winner? What was the winning grilled cheese?
Years of eating raw milk has prepared my intestines for that event.
For anything.
But that was super cool. Honestly, a lot of places are doing great grilled cheese these days. It would be super hard to miss if you see it on the menu. Chefs here in Los Angeles, they know what's up with cheese. So just go for it, I would say.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, we are super excited to have had you on the show.
Yeah.
I feel like any cheesemaker who you are representing is very lucky to have a force like yours on their side.
Definitely.
Can I give you my hero speech? I mean, so, and I just decided about an hour ago that if you were a Pokemon, you would be like the final evolved form of like of Cheesemonger, you know, like you'd have like the gold foil card and everything, and all the kids would covet you. You guys are definitely absolutely doing it right. So I'm super, super happy to have talked to you. Thank you so much.
Oh man, wow. That's awesome. I'm gonna have to tell my brother. He was all into Pokemon. I'll be like, Billy, what does that mean? No, thank you so much. That's so sweet. Well, we definitely we're trying, you know, and but it's really exciting to see that you know, really all across the country, people are starting to, you know, really support their local cheesemakers, which is just the coolest.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, so the Milkman Cheese Services, and you said milkmanla.com?
Milkmanla.com, that's it.
Great. All right. Well, everyone should check it out. And thank you again, Chris, for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back next Monday.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.